Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Code Brew, our first episode of the year, 2023. We're glad to have you. Thank you for listening. My name is Joseph.
And I'm Andrew.
Brandon.
I'm Dane, apologizing in advance for Joey. His mother-in-law was in town for all of the holidays. That's why it's been so long since we recorded.
Yeah, throw me under the bus. Yeah,
never okay. Gonna let that go.
Oh my god. Dear listener, you'll have to, this is some deep lore of Code Brew. Check back on our episode of, I think it's an interview episode, had a mock interview.
Yeah, you wouldn't know because you weren't there.
I wasn't there. But some Code Brew lore. We'll have to create a glossary maybe on the website for some more of this deep lore that we're crafting.
Yeah, it's unfortunate drinking mimosas won't be on your performance review.
Oh my god. Switched over from gin?
Cooking him right now.
Oh my god, I don't even drink that much anyway.
New year.
It has been a while. But we're here and we're live and alive. So how's everybody doing? How's your week going?
Not bad.
Yeah. It's for me.
It's a what week?
It's planning week for me, which is new because I've always done Kanban style, but my team has shifted now. So we're doing like full like planning for like the whole quarter, Scrum style, I guess.
Oh, whoa. And you guys aren't, it's not normally like that for you guys?
Not for my team, but our priority shifted. So I'm no longer like, before it was like 75% focus on purely SEO with like the SEO product team. Now it's like 25% SEO and then 75% business cases.
So interesting.
I get to make the big kid stuff now. I've proved my worth.
Cool. You guys also just finished a hack week. You were saying offline.
Yeah. So we do four hack weeks a year, which is where we basically take. It's opt-in, you're not required, but you can basically take a week and instead of doing regular work, you can work on whatever you want as long as it improves something. So saves money, better user experience, tech enablement, stuff like that. It's really cool. And I think in the future, there's conversation about making Hack Week more of like a multi-activity week. So we would have a week where you could opt in to do Hack Week and work on something new that you want to, or you can do a week of like a bug hunt with like obviously like incentives, or you can do a week of like tech enablement, like just upgrading our code base. So yeah.
And how does like, so it's all team based, like no one's just like flying solo unless I guess like
you can fly solo. You're obviously encouraged to collaborate. You get bonus points like for collaborating if you do a Hack Week project, but some people like to just do it completely on their own. That's totally cool.
And for the people that are like, so does everybody's thing that they like, whether they're individual or team oriented, does their let's say you're like, oh, I want to fix the UI of this thing or whatever. Does everybody's thing get like push to production or like how does that like I'm assuming like how does that work?
So it's more like everybody does that, you get a week, everybody does their thing, then everybody who did a thing gets to present to like the entire company, the CFO, CTO, president, and then there are essentially like votes after the fact, and you know the winners get prizes and then their projects get prioritized usually as a business case. But you know, obviously if they're all bad or they're all like meh, then it's not going to get pushed forward. But you know, when somebody says, hey, we can make these changes that'll take 3 days of work and it'll save us $200,000 a year, it's like, okay, well, let's just do that. That should be a priority.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And your project has been presented yet or?
All the presentations were last Friday.
Got it.
I don't know who won yet, but there were only five projects submitted, and my team did two of them. So I think our odds are good of getting at least one.
Nice. So for me, Dane and I have been working on a pretty large update since Thanksgiving, I think. A lot of quality of life changes, some just also cosmetic changes on the front end, but kind of getting ready to push it off into the world. It's just kind of getting some final touches, but kind of been in the trenches.
Wait, so you guys don't just push directly to prod, is what you're saying? Or is that just when Dane's not looking?
Not on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing that, so don't have much going on.
Not too shabby.
What's going on with you, Brandon?
Well, you know, man, just all the things happened. I came back from the holidays. I was like, man, be nice to just get back into the flow of things, and then got laid off. Couldn't escape the tech layoffs, unfortunately. A lot of our company, the company I used to work at, I should say now, a lot of people got laid off, so couldn't avoid it, which kind of sucks. But luckily it's Q1. Everybody is hiring right now because everyone's budgets gets renewed. So I've just been in the morning submitting applications, tailoring resumes, and then in the afternoon scheduling all my recruiter and interview calls in the afternoon. So that's really all I've been doing. It's been interesting talking to a lot of recruiters, getting an idea of like what's hot, what's not hot, what's interesting. Lots of cloud. So that's my specialty.
Nice. Yep.
I'm gonna get Brandon over to the dark side.
Trying, we'll see.
Yeah. What's been your the best part, I guess, about being on the hunt, and then maybe like what's the worst part, other than not having a job, I guess, but like
sure.
But don't give me that look, Andrew.
Best part and worst part. Worst part is my sleep schedule has gone terrible. It was kind of getting like shaky because of the holidays already. I was like kind of sleeping in a little bit, you know, slacking off, and then I was like, all right, new year, we'll get back into the flow of things, we'll fix the sleep schedule. And then got laid off, and I was like, well, there's no point in, I don't really need to wake up early anymore. I can just wake up at like 10 and, you know,
10 p.m.
Do apps and submit stuff. And it's great. The best part, it's been interesting. I think touching base with a lot of recruiters has been good. Like, just, it's always good to like keep those relationships good. There's been a couple that like I've worked with in the past that I'm able to work with again, which has been awesome. Like, they're rare, but if you can find the good recruiters, there are good recruiters out there. They're amazing to work with.
Really? Like, so you have like previous relationship, like working relationships with past recruiters still, or like just kind of in your Rolodex?
Yeah. There was a couple where I was like, as soon as I got laid off, like they were the first people I contacted. I was like, hey, I'm on the market. You get first dibs. And they're like, oh, perfect. Like, I can set you up with him and you can talk to this hiring manager and these people are hiring. So it was like, there was like that brief moment, like the day that I got laid off, I was like, oh, this sucks. What a way to start a year. And then I talked to the recruiter. I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm not worried about this at all. So it's been nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I noticed quite a shift. I feel like what happened during like the, you know, the, all these layoffs is that, like, you know, that there are people who are, you know, trying to resecure capital. Capital isn't flowing as easily. Investors are tightening their pockets, and that leads to people. They bring in some C-level person to come in and cut costs, and they lay off people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is I've seen, and I think it's because of the shift to remote work after COVID, I feel like I see a lot more positions opening up in like small to mid-sized companies that have smaller teams, and now they're kind of more on a competitive playing field because remote is such an important option for most people. I think it's really diversified the job pool. Like I always check listings and stuff just to make sure my skills are sharp. And it's interesting to me. Like, I feel like that there's a lot more diversity, and for me, that's a good thing. I really like working on smaller teams where I feel like I can have more of an impact. I know that would get under some other people's skin because they don't have 100% test coverage, but YOLO.
No, yeah, it's a good point. It's been interesting for sure.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that actually. You make a good point, Dane, about like the remote work being such a big component of what people kind of as workers want. And with some of like, I've been seeing some articles and headlines about like some like bigger companies pushing for people to come back to the office. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, how maybe smaller mid-sized companies can kind of compete with these big box for talent, because there may be where they may not be able to compete on terms of benefits or just security because of the size of company, which honestly I think isn't even really a real thing either. I mean, you just like look at Microsoft today, like laid off like 10,000 people or something, and it's a huge company. So I think that's a good point, that even like some small and mid-sized companies will have maybe a good shot of being able to snatch up some of the talent out there.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say because I'm not affected by it, but I will say that like, yeah, this is what happens when an economy shrinks, and it happens every seven to 8 years, almost on the clock, right? It means people who are entirely VC backed, VCs tighten their purses. That affects startups, and then really large companies, their 5-year predictions don't look like they do, and they go through and they do layoffs, a lot of which have been like recruiting and growth, like growth engineers and people more focused on like growth specific parts. And you know, I mean, it should be a lesson to all of us, like this will happen again, probably 4 or 5 more times in our lifetime. So I think it's just trying to find your ways to be indispensable, like using Vim, Andrew.
I'm good, man. I already push more code than anybody else in my company, and I don't touch Vim with a stick.
Yeah, just because you write class components doesn't.
Yeah, mean. You're just changing divs.
Joey, at least I know how to center a div.
Dang.
Joey writes like 4 times more code than me. It just does like a quarter of what mine does.
yeah, exactly.
No, hey, on that,
I found a way to do what you did in 1 line in 10.
No, it's actually interesting. On that same point, on like the whole remote thing, it's been really interesting because now I'm like very used to remote work. Like that's my norm now, which was like most companies are remote, but I interviewed with one that was hybrid, and they're like, yeah, we want you to come in 3 days a week. I was like, ooh, which sucked because like I was basically like exactly what they're looking for in terms of engineering. I'm still talking to them, so I can't say too much, but it would have been a great fit, but they're not remote. And I was like, I don't know. I think that might be a deal breaker for me now. Like, I don't know if I want to go back into an office again if I don't have to.
Why? Like,
I just don't understand spending 18 hours in front of the computer just around other people instead of at my house. I if it were a different profession, maybe, but I honestly, I mean, I guess somebody has to keep MBAs employed.
Has to keep what?
MBAs employed. No, it's really like, I don't know a single developer that it would be more productive in an office. And I genuinely mean that.
I don't get it. Like it feels like there's some like weird higher up thing where it's like somebody in one department has to come into the office or whatever, for whatever reason that they do. And in order to appease or make that department or group of people feel like better that everybody else is working from home, they're just kind of like, well, the great equalizer is having a hybrid schedule or making everybody come in. And it's, I don't know. I don't have enough. I don't know.
feel like a hybrid schedule would be me going in one day a week. I feel like that's like an acceptable hybrid schedule.
Yeah, maybe.
Full well knowing that I'm probably not pushing out any code that day. So that's your choice, right? Because I am just infinitely less productive when people bother me.
Yeah, if it was me, it'd be like one day a week would be fine. Just make that the day where all the meetings happen. No other meetings the rest of the week. I just get to work and do my stuff. I can do stand. But yeah, one day a week and it's just all the meetings for the week. Let's do it.
Yeah, I much prefer face-to-face conversation if that's what the meeting is actually about. It's just so often that it's not. I'm not actually having a conversation when I'm in an in-person meeting. It's just kind of listing off things and it doesn't really have any bearing. I mean, maybe I'm kind of jaded. I just don't really see any reason to be in office. I like what WordPress has been fully remote since its inception. And their whole thing is that they take all the money they would spend on overhead and fly everybody out once a year for like a big rager. And that's how you build community.
Yeah. No, that's sick. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, did they say why or like what, like did you ask why or like what, like why?
I was just about to say that. Yeah, so I asked why and they said it's just because the CEO wants people in the office. I was like, that's
dumb.
It's not a great reason. I'm sorry. And I felt bad. Here's the thing. I felt bad for the interviewer too, because I could hear in his voice. I was like, yeah, like he was going through the motions. Like he had heard from other candidates, like, yo, not being remote is a deal breaker. Like, I think they've had this position open for a while. Like he's having trouble finding a good candidate because of the hybrid thing. Like you're limited. You're forcing your sphere of influence on who you can hire down to your local area versus anywhere in the US or potentially anywhere globally. If you're able to hire internationally, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's like,
doesn't make any sense to me.
No, if the goal is to get the best person for the job, then I don't know. It seems like you should probably try to do everything you can in your power to like get that person.
It's because of the mentality of some C-level people. I as much as I hate to say it, they sit there and think, man, if I wasn't watching everyone like a hawk, you know, they'd just be taking me for it. As if like, oh, cool, like you want to watch me write my YAML? Like, sure. like, what are you like? What honestly? What input are you gonna give right now? Like, I don't have any input on your the way that you do your job. And like, let's not pretend like you being here does anything to affect me other than like irritating me. It's just it's old management, and it's just not gonna fly for that much longer. I if other positions, it's a little bit different. If you're in a sales position, maybe even I would say even if you're in a leadership position, I can understand them requiring that. But isn't it like as a sole, you know, an individual contributor, I just think it's a waste of everyone's time. And it's unfair to ask people to spend 30 or 45 minutes additionally every day
driving, commuting.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of life that I'm not going to get back. I mean, literally years over the course of my working career. And it's, I don't know why I feel so passionately about it, because it just seems silly. Like as if I can see it, then it's there, as if they haven't developed object permanence.
Yeah. No, I think that the commute thing's huge, and that I don't think that's that. No,
yeah, the commute thing. I don't want to commute again.
I did. There's at one of my job a couple jobs ago. One of the people I worked with had moved like pretty far out, and in the like opposite direction of where our company was located. And I did the math on how much his commute. He was talking about his commute, and I was like, dude, that's. Like it was like an hour one way or something, like without traffic. And I don't know. I'm just like thinking about that. I'm like, man, that's a lot of life like you're losing, like that you're not spending with family and whatever that you're going to this job for. So
yeah, I've been with people who justify it because they want to socialize instead of work, and then pretty soon they realize that they find some way to make up that socializing is the same thing as working. And it's just and I get it for some professions that's the case. In dev, I feel like the opposite. If someone yanks me out of what I'm doing right there, or just to interrupt my thought process, it's really disruptive to me. And I I have worked both entirely in office and out of office. I'm way more productive in my environment. I have rituals, you know, we're like magicians. I sit up, I draw the circle, and then I get the coffee, and then I, you know,
and then I go to the toilet, and, you know, rituals. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I need all of those cues for my mind to say, okay, let them thingies fly.
Well, good luck, Brandon. It sounds like you're on a journey, but I'm excited to hear more about, you know, where you land and what your experience is over the next couple weeks. Cool. Well, speaking of changes, and just things going on, maybe was thinking our first episode out of the gate of the new year, we take some time to reflect and go around and talk about our previous year of 2022 and kind of reflect about that. And then maybe afterwards, if there's time, some go or in the same roundabout, it doesn't matter, I guess, what some of our goals are for 2023, personal or professional or whatever you're kind of vibing on. But I can go first. So let's see. So 2022. Yeah. So this time last year, my brain works like in like chronological. So I'm sorry if I'm like going back in time here, but come back with me.
Isn't that the prompt? That was the assignment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could, yeah, I don't know. However, whatever. I don't know. I'll just yeah. So I'm doing it. I'm fine. So literally this day last year, I was in Austin, Texas, at my company retreat for the last company I was with, and yeah, and you know, I talked briefly about a little bit about what I did there, I think over the course of the podcast, but had been working there for about a year, almost, and wasn't quite satisfied professionally with kind of what I was getting out of things there. It just kind of felt, it was definitely very, it was definitely a very beginner role, which I was grateful for, and I still am grateful for that opportunity. But professionally wise, I didn't feel like I was really growing as a developer, and I don't know if I've really talked about it that much on the podcast, but yeah, I was basically working in kind of email land, and primarily in like HTML, and it was very just basic, you know, and just building emails and working in the content management systems for nonprofit companies that are only used by basically these companies. And so it was kind of limiting in kind of the skills that I was learning and where I felt like I was going to be able to go. And few months went by, and then coming up on into April, Dane had expressed potentially needing an extra set of hands, and just for sanity and just also, you know, to help with kind of managing things from the dev side while trying to be able to tackle things on the business side. And so I was able to get in with Dane at Telefy, and gosh, it's already January, but it's been a pretty crazy year. I feel like I went back to boot camp all over again.
Except this time I was actually shouting.
I guess my brain's just kind of been, this role and what I'm doing now, I feel like was kind of what I wish I'd had gotten in my first dev job. And so it's been cool to have this experience and kind of break my brain and get into the obstacles and experience that I've been wanting as a junior dev and in a first kind of entry level role. And yeah, it has been a ride. Yeah. Working a lot in React and Next.js and then learning Elixir and working on a backend period just in another language has been, I'd say working. I'd hardly say what I've done on it on our backend is working. but it's been a big learning year for me. Really just even cementing basics that and kind of covering things that didn't get covered in our boot camp. It's been a big year for growth for me, which I anticipate is similar for maybe all of us in different ways, growth wise, but
I'm 2 inches taller.
My gosh. it's been really good. I getting to work in a dev environment that and code that is going to literally affect, the outcome of how people work with it, how, if it helps with, our users and whether people even want to use the product has been eye-opening. And I think my favorite thing has been being able to kind of go through from concept to execution, really seeing things from like, hey, here's this idea we have, let's wireframe this out. And then over months kind of watch this kind of evolve and change. And then maybe by the end, it's nothing like it was maybe when we first conceptualized it, because during the execution process, you realize things that weren't really on your mind at the time. And but it's been really rewarding for me. And I'm not sure if it's been as rewarding for Dane, but because I'm kind of his shadow. But it's been really cool. I feel like my brain's been through a blender for the last year, but I'm trying to stay afloat. I think for this year, some goals I have, I would like to personally just finally actually update, and this is a little goal, I guess, but it's kind of a big goal to me, is update my personal professional website. It hasn't changed at all since the boot camp that I was in. And then also I'd like to finish and complete an actual personal project. I've kind of started a couple random things over the last year, but not really saw any of them through to the end. And so I've got a couple that ideas I've been kicking around, but I would like to actually just finish one of them and just have something completed and be able to say I did it. So I'm hoping to do that this year. And then, I think I've got some other things I'm thinking about too, but I think I've been talking for like 10 minutes straight. So I'll let someone else go.
Who wants to go next? I feel like Joey's bot should go next.
That's me. I'll keep it short and sweet. Yeah, this last year was a lot of learning stuff. I think just on the topic of introspection and stuff, I just finished building a new keyboard and I lost a row of keys, and it was kind of interesting to like I remember when I first switched keyboards, my first thought was like, oh man, this is so slow. It's going to take so long to get used to it. And it took like about a week. The same thing happened this year when I learned Vim and NeoVim. We'll get to this, and this is directly targeted for Andrew. So, and I realized like how long I had been biased in the concept of like, I forget what the bias is called, but it's kind of like how, you know, we can't take one step back to take two steps forward. It's like kind of it's a human cognitive bias. And so naturally there's a lot of solutions and problems we don't solve. And I think it's also true in coding sometimes where we just continue down a long line of a certain solution. And rather than taking one step back, we kind of go too far down a hole. So I was just kind of thinking on that. And I think that's part of one of my goals going into this new year. I think I did pretty well last year and I want to carry that in. And then also I definitely want to, I made a promise to myself that I will at least reserve some reserve of coding energy, whatever it means that I have to suffer on the rest of my life, so that I'm at least spending 3 or 4 hours doing some sort of side project. And really a side project is just an excuse to make something I want to make and learn something I want to learn. So last weekend I made sure that at the end of the week I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe Saturday I can pop in for 3 or 4 hours and play with Elm. I've been learning a little bit of Elm and trying to redo my personal website in Elm. Not for any particular reason other than it just sounded like it'd be fun to learn. It's not really to debate the merits of it or anything like that. I'm just really making it a goal for myself to keep that on my radar. And then also, I don't know if it'll be this year, but I still very much have on my priority list, like contributing to an open source package. I feel like I leverage them so much, or any sort of software. I leverage them so much. And I think now I'm confident enough in my abilities in certain languages and stuff to kind of provide some help to the ecosystem and help it grow. And I think that would be really important, because I think, you know, Isaac Newton said we stand on the shoulders of giants so that we can see far, right? Like, I really do feel that. Like, the other day I was messing around, because I'm on the other side of it too. I've been doing some embedded stuff this year, and I Andrew just Zoom chatted us and said, I've got an open source package you can contribute to.
And now he's just laughing.
That's good. I mean, I'm pretty, from what I hear on the street, it's been deprecated. So I think I'll work on something else.
It's a couple versions behind. Yeah. Maintainer hasn't been maintaining it.
Yeah, nope. It's riddled with broken packages.
Yikes. Might be a virus in there if you download it.
Using some unsafe methods, okay?
Yeah, Dependabot keeps alerting me about it.
Dumb. This is dumb.
I mean, so this isn't the minified version? I'm just
Look, man, it's winter.
Anyway, I forget what I was talking about when I finished. Oh yeah, I would like to contribute. I don't know. I just want to keep some reserves in the tank. I watched a lot of videos, and I was watching Primogen talking about the other day, like, the, you know, an attempt at dealing with burnout is to, a lot of people say, code less, and like that really hasn't been doing it for me. So and he kind of gave the advice, like, no, you need to not necessarily code more, but make sure that you're making time in your life for like side projects so that you can still have a love of programming, still enjoy programming. Because, you know, this last year I was at risk of, I love programming, always will, but I mean, when you're doing it 16 hours a day nonstop, it became very depersonalizing. So I think that's one of my goals for this new year. Make sure that I am keeping that passion alive. And if that means that, you know, I have to shave 5 or 6 hours off of work in order to make sure that I'm working on a side project or picking up a new language or library or infrastructure or reading or whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Oh yeah, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about abstractions built on abstractions. I was messing with TTY the other day, which is based on teletype. It's like a low level kind of, I barely know what it does, but it's a low level communication protocol. it's based on a teletype. And I was like, what the hell is a teletype? And I had to go wait till I went into a, I asked my neighbor who was like 70 and he's like, oh, it's like typewriters you could use to be able to hook up to monitors. And it's just like, man, where's that? And a lot of Unix packages are built on top of that. Like if you're using a Mac, you're definitely using TTY. And it's just funny to me that like, it really is just one thing built on top of another, like so much so that like an important part of the kernel relies on something that was written for typewriters hooked up to computers. It's just goofy. So I feel like a sense of responsibility to kind of maybe chip at that and take it less for granted. You know, I mean, I just type npm run dev, but there's so much that goes up to there. And yeah, starting at the very high end of the stack being like Elm and like the pure functional languages where it's just like, what if I didn't think about the computer hardware at all? And then I'm also working from the ground up on like Rust. And then like, I just finished building that keyboard. I ordered PCBs for the first time and I messed with CAD a little bit for the first time, which was wild. And yeah, I'm just trying to bridge that gap and get it closer and closer and then hopefully find the secrets to the universe of programming. Because there's secrets in there, man. I know there's something in there.
Secret is everything is mutable.
No.
You were supposed to be the chosen one.
It's out here using the delete keyword like an animal. God, I hate it. You know, I will say, while we're on the topic of ranting, because I got to get one rant in every time. Being in like being in Elm and Haskell and like truly writing a typed language, I don't even classify Java or C sharp or any of those languages as typed anymore. They don't deserve the title, because if you can just pass down null, then what the hell does it matter? Why all this effort to type it and then doesn't really give you any guarantees? I hate it so much. It's even worse. I hate Java even more this year, and I hope I take that passion this year and burn it to the ground. I hate Java.
So TypeScript, also not true, not a true typing.
No, but JavaScript's so messy. TypeScript is great documentation, in my opinion.
TypeScript is like an attempt to fix a very obvious mistake, whereas Java was just, it is the mistake.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
The original sin.
They had that CIA acid. You know, I just assume that that's what they were taking when they wrote that language, because they were like, what if everything was like an object, man? And they're like, well, what if the universe is not deterministic and we can't really, you know, anytime we say something about something, we're inherently like truncating the end of all of its properties. And it's like, no, man, cars have wheels, man. And that will apply to HTTP servlet requests.
Oh yeah. Extends from the vehicle class, of course.
Oh no.
Just imagine that this is what Joey's one-on-ones sound like. Dane just goes into a rant about something totally unrelated, probably about Java.
No, I had to semi-chastise Joey the other day for pulling down a library when it wasn't necessary.
But you said you would have done it too.
I probably would have, but I would have known that it was necessary. I would have at least Googled him and like, yeah, that seems like a lot of work.
What did they pull down? Was it Izod?
No, it was like a React wrapper around an HTML drop zone for like drag and drop. Which is like fair. Like I said, I probably would have used that too, but like I was proud. It was a proud parent moment. Because it, like Joyce, I mean, that was way different from what we were talking about like a year ago, which is like, okay, now type use state. Okay. So it's a good thing. It's a mark of honor that I can chastise you about that now. What about you, Andrew?
Oh man, I want to try to keep mine shorter than both of yours. We're very long. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Last year, I think the common thread is that last year was like very much a year of growth and a year of learning. And I think I realized by the end of last year that I have a tendency. Oh, nice, Dane. Dane said something inappropriate, which I will not share because I am a gentleman. But yeah, I realized last year that I have a tendency to if I'm not always doing something, I feel like I'm not doing enough and I have to take on more. And that usually translates into, I should do more work and get ahead on work. So this year definitely is going to be a lot about me separating and giving like hard cutoffs for work, like no more working afterwards. Like, it was cool. I was super productive last year. I learned a lot and I pushed a shit ton of code and a bunch of new features and all sorts of cool stuff, but I'm exhausted. So yeah, this year is going to be about setting up boundaries, work stays and work hours, dedicate clear time for school, and then make sure I have X amount of free time every day to do whatever. Another thing I'd like to do this year is I would like to start doing some contract work on the side, like 10, 20 hours a week, something like that. Fingers crossed, I think I may have my first project lined up, but I'll know more in about a week. Yeah, I don't know. I think my other big goal for this year is just to finish school, finally have that beautiful piece of paper that said I touched C++ and Java and Python once, and then hopefully never again. Yeah, I think that's about it for me. What about you, Brandon?
Wait. So you said finish, so you would be done with school at the end of this year?
I think so.
Whoa.
Nice.
And so it would be a bachelor's in computer science?
Yep, bachelor's in computer nonsense. That's what it's called.
Dang. Nice. Dang. How long have you been in school already? I didn't realize this.
For like a year.
Dang. Yeah, wow.
And also keep in mind that like a lot of like terms online now are much shorter. So like most of my classes are 8 weeks long. So you get a lot more
that's nice
throughput, yeah.
And are you doing multiple classes at a time, or
I kind of oscillate between two at a time and one at a time. Like I have one more I have applied linear algebra next. I'll probably take that by itself. Ooh. Just because I want to focus on that and I don't want to. It's hard to like context switch. But after that, it should be all core CS classes. And I'll probably just double those up to make sure that I graduate by the end of the year.
Whoa.
But then again, I'm going to have no time if I do that. So, you know, we'll see. All right, Brandon, your turn.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah, this year for me is obviously get a job, but I think more than that is and this is kind of actually related to my job search, something I've been like finding is I've been doing this for 3 years now, which is crazy. It's crazy to me, but 3 years is also close to like the start of what some companies consider like a senior engineer, which has been really interesting. I think kind of the question for me this year is like, okay, you know, starting to hit that senior engineer position, what does that mean necessarily, you know, going forward, and also for whatever company I end up working at. I've interviewed for a couple senior positions now, which has been very interesting. It's like such a different interview when you go in for a senior, because like there's an assumption of
you go to drink for more than 2 years.
yeah they just like assume like, oh, you're interviewing for a senior, cool, like you probably know the basics, we're not going to really quiz you too much on it. It's been more like system design level interviews and like, hey, we want to understand your thought process on building new features and tell us about like how you work with teams and what are your soft skills and how are those and whatnot, like what have you worked on, what have you done, which has been really like these interesting questions to answer, but also like to think about my answers for once I was asked them. I was like, oh, that's a great question, and realized that would be in the like a senior position. It's interesting. Every company is different. Every company has a different definition of what a senior engineer is. Some companies have been interviewing for, it's just a mid-level position. Like it's just a regular software engineer position. Other places it's senior. So it kind of depends on the company, but I would say by like the end of next year, right? Next year will be the 5-year mark by the end of next year. And like at that point, be like, okay, you're a senior now. Like from this point on, you can only, I mean, I guess I could interview for a regular position, but I would be going for a senior position. So it's like, okay, what do I need to, you know, start doing? What are the things that are important? What makes a good senior engineer and that kind of thing. I would say in tandem with that, like while focusing on those things, also taking it a little bit easy, so to speak. And I kind of have been doing this for the end of last year, kind of like the last few months, was starting to kind of tone it down a little bit on like how much intensity I was spending on everything I was learning and everything else like that. Where which is like, I was always trying to learn something new. I got how many, I think 4 certifications last year for just random tech, for AWS, for Google Cloud Platform, all of that stuff. And then this year, I'm like, I think this year I'm just going to, you know, focus on work, doing a good job, asking the questions of what it means to be a senior, and just focusing on that and not trying to do so many, kind of like what Andrew's saying, not trying to do so many things outside of work and have, spend more time like doing what I want to do and whatnot. Even if what I want to do is more coding, like that's fine. But yeah, I think just kind of taking it, not letting up, but not trying to go as fast, we'll say.
Yeah, so hell the yeah. Year of balance is what I'm hearing. Because I feel like
I also want to make a garden.
Garden?
That's yeah. a great goal.
I'd
yeah.
like to make a garden for like vegetables. You know what I mean?
Vegetables.
Useful, yeah. Really cool.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But just like, I don't know, something. Anything.
Some tomatoes, some carrots.
My tips. You throw my, I grew up in the mountains, though, boy. Grew lots of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of, yeah, I mean, the climate, you're, you got options, but yeah, I would start with whatever you can just grow in that area, like in the heat and in the winter and with that, yeah. with that.
I mean, I'm going to build like a whole, like kind of not like a full enclosure, but I'll build something that goes off of my patio. And then that way I can also use the, like the runoff pipe for like the AC. Right.
So yeah.
When that coil heats up and then it starts condensating, trying to use words now, but yeah, that runoff pipe, that way I can just have a constant flow of water, like not a huge amount, but yeah, Dane, if you want to help me with some like vegetables and shit, that'd be pretty tight.
Yeah. Just, I mean, are you thinking about
definitely some, not drugs,
some IoT stuff with the veggies.
I've made those too.
Fun, yeah, those would be some cool projects.
Yeah, tomatoes are always a classic. You can't really mess up tomatoes, they're very easy to grow, and they're tasty. I like tomatoes, yeah.
I love tomatoes.
I fuck with tomatoes.
Yeah, the last 3 months, or like maybe last month or two, been really focusing in on my diet too, and that's been nice. I think balance in all things is kind of the theme of this next year.
Yeah,
like I nearly killed myself this last year, and I was at risk of losing my love for programming, which is not good because I like it a lot.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah, it's just very, it's hard when you have infinite problems, right? Like
that's a weird thing to call Joey, but okay.
I just mean every product can have like,
oh my
every
God.
Product has some road or some pathway to where it could be a better product, right? But there are limited time and resources, and yeah, I mean, it's that's just what it is. I mean, just even from the level of a programmer, like the product could always be more scalable. I don't think there's ever been a single product where they're like, okay, it's done. I mean, we don't do waterfall anymore. So the work will be there. And just realizing that has been important to me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, having perspective and just realizing, like, yeah, it's okay. That, like, not everything under the sun has to be done in that sprint or whatnot.
set realistic expectations for yourselves.
That's right. Well, I've done the scribe task of this episode of documenting everyone's goals, so it'll be fun to revisit these later this year or next year when we maybe do a retrospective on 2023. Yeah, but it'll certainly be an exciting year and exciting to see where things are and where we are at the end of 2023. And also, dear listener, please send us an email if you have some 2023 goals or want to share with us what you've got going on this year. We always like to hear from our listeners. And Andrew, for those who are curious, what's that email address?
I don't know, man. You say it so well.
hello@codebrew.fm is where you can reach us.
You did well. You sounded like a human being. No, as Joey is actually ChatGPT. We just put a vocal mod on it.
Yeah.
Quite impressive.
Oh my God. Yeah. That'll be, yeah.
We're going to need a resume later, Joey.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, it's been a big year, and I think we've all got some awesome goals that we've set out and are interested in. Any other last burning desires or questions or comments?
Use more Tailwind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is all this random online Tailwind hate coming from?
I don't know.
I thought we all agreed that it was. I mean, I'll tell you, with this Elm project, I've been writing raw CSS again. It's horrible. And SAS doesn't really make the experience that much better. Tailwind is the best. It's just, I like, almost objectively at this point, something's wrong with you if you're not using Tailwind.
But yeah, if you don't like Tailwind, I feel like you just don't know. Like, you don't know. Like, I feel like you just kind of aren't using it right, maybe. I don't know. Like, maybe the problem's you.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or concern about that, you can email me directly at goforkyourself@codebrew.f. I'm just kidding.
Don't do that. It'll go to my inbox because I'm the default.
No, I mean, I understand that, if you don't like Tailwind, don't use it. That's fine by me. I just
don't use it. Sure.
I just don't really, like, I guess, what is the alternative that people are suggesting? Like raw CSS? Is that what they want?
I think it's,
yes.
I think it's just straight up CSS modules.
Insanity.
Cool, because that's great. Because you know what I like to do when I'm programming? If only I could have to name more things, as if that's not the most time consuming thing in my whole day. If only I had to figure out how to name even more things, then I would be a much faster developer. That is literally the hardest part of my job.
Yeah, I think the biggest complaint about it is just like the HTML bloat. But at the same time, it's like, well, that code exists somewhere. Just because it's not there, then I have to jump to a different file and look through that. Like,
right. And it's also like, you can create your own design system that, if you like CSS so much, then you can make a fucking design system where you have all these classes and basically organize it in such a way so that you're like, okay, fine. So now when you go into your app and you're designing, or you want to start using Flex or whatever, you can customize and make all that shit the simple way that you quote unquote like think is so bloated, by just using like Tailwind proper or whatever, that you're like, oh, this is just making this look so big or whatever. It's like, okay, well, there's a fix for that, but like, you're just like, just do that or go write it in CSS.
You know, it's way worse than HTML bloat, having go to another place to find out what's happening with your HTML.
Yeah.
It's way worse than HTML. Also, like, if
you, I mean, to be fair, like Dan, you've led us to believe that you can do that relatively quickly with Vim, so I don't know why you care.
because it's two keys. No. This is why you couldn't possibly understand Vim. Okay? This is why you can never ascend, because zero motions is two less motions than two. Okay. You just don't, you know, maybe one day.
VS Code search is inferior to searching in Nerdtree or
in Vim. I just don't know why you guys are in such a hurry. You're not in the coding competition. Just slow down, chill out.
Didn't you begin this podcast with saying, like, I push so much code?
I did. And then I said in my retrospective that looking back, I did too much and I need to pull it back.
So imagine if you could push that much code, but you worked normal hours. That's Vim.
Yeah, see, but you know Vim and you still work 16 hours a day. So what's the...
It's because I own the company.
You got an employee delegate.
That's because if I decide to take a long lunch, I might be out of house and home.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad I made that comment.
We were just about to wrap. We were almost out of the woods.
You seen this new keyboard? Look at this. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, like my that. God. Like that. You were getting closer and closer to what's his face? Hacker Man from Kung Fury.
Yeah, that's great. What is that? Is that supposed to be an insult?
You gotta grow a little mustache.
I learned really early on, the more I play into that stereotype, the more people stop talking to me. And it was a win-win for everyone.
Anyways, on that note, let's wrap.
Well, yeah, let's wrap. Yeah, that was great. Reach out to us. hello@codebrew.fm. Have a happy 2023, and we'll see you on the other side.
Andrew, let me know about that open source package. I got to pull on it. Or sorry, I got to pull it.
Yeah, you do.
Can I pull it on your open source package, please?
No matter what Dane says, remember that the greatest Vim command of all time is :q.